Today on Real Radio.
Why do I tell you this, Christian? Because you will never be complete as a believer. You will never feel complete. You will never be able to sit back and say, you know what? This has been an awesome week. If you keep sitting on your egg, that egg wants to hatch. I know it's scary. I know if you're a believer that you're to have a gift. That's in the Word of God. That's certain. It's scary to exercise it, but you gotta try.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We've been in chapter 11, which is the part of this narrative that tells us of the transition where Messianic Judaism, now known as Christianity, spreads into the Gentile communities. In other words, the book of Acts spends 10 chapters telling us how the first believers were Jews, numbering into the thousands. Well, now the Gentiles are believing and receiving Mashiach, and the church at Antioch was established. But they didn't forget about their brothers in Judea. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation taken from the last few verses of this chapter in a wonderful study of giving and true hospitality.
Agabus is under the movement of the Holy Spirit,
and
it says in
verse 28
that he showed by the Spirit. It means that he, in some way, we're not quite exactly sure what the word show means. He depicted by analogy, the word can mean. He acted it out. Remember, Ezekiel acted it out by the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel had little army men made, and he played army in the dirt. He literally played army in the dirt, and he crushed the Israeli army because these guys were coming in, and it was a prophecy. Somehow, Agabus showed that there was going to be a famine throughout all of the world. And that word world means the Roman Empire, the known Roman Empire. But ministries must be spiritual. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, a great verse that you know well, says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Well, I went and looked at what context did God say that. And Zerubbabel, what a name, Zerubbabel was in a heap of trouble. And God begins to speak to him, and he says, Zerubbabel, it's not going to be by might, it's not going to be by power that I get my work done, but it's going to be by my Spirit. And so the very next verse that we so often neglect, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7, says, who are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? Or who are you, great obstacle before whoever you might be, or Calvary Chino Hills, or whoever, whatever? What are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? It says in that verse, you shall become a plain and shall be brought down, and the capstones of joy shall be shouted out, which are what? It says, grace, grace unto you. Grace. It is grace. God's unearned, can I say it's favor, but can I change it and say God's unearned labor? God's work by the Spirit that accomplishes true Christian ministry? Now, I think you've gathered by now in this message that if you're not a Christian, this is kind of a boring message for you. But if you're a Christian and you care, this is a mandate that God is showing us in the latter end of this chapter. So very important. I had the greatest week, I got to tell you. In fact, by Wednesday afternoon, I walked in and told the gals in the front office, I just said, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, the world can come to an end right now. This has been a great week. I am absolutely blessed. It was unbelievable. By Wednesday, I had the chance to see miracles. There were physical miracles accomplished. There were salvation came to a heart or two, recommitments, tremendous stuff all by Wednesday. And let me tell you, I was like, I'm on cruise. This is great. It's autopilot. God is just blowing my mind. Have you ever been there when God is like, too good? This is just too good. God was just moving because his spirit was in control. He was the one doing it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, or excuse me, 11 through 13, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, the Bible tells us there, and he himself, that is God, gave some to be apostles. In my Bible, I have the word some circled. And then the next line, he gave some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastor teachers. Why did he do this? Why do you have a gift, even though you don't know what it might be? You need to find out. He gave you a gift for the equipping of the saints and for the work of ministry, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, verse 12. For the edifying of the body. That word edifying, we get the word edifice, or to change the face of. I like this. Those of you who earlier waved your hand, you're a Christian. Do you realize that you, inside of you, has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit that this place needs? That the world needs? Do you realize that not everybody is to be a mouth? Not everybody is to be a foot? Not everybody is to be an elbow? But we all come together as one? That in reality, what's going on here right now on this Sunday morning is a briefing for the believer that they might go out and use their gift more effectively? What are we doing? What are you doing? I'm not asking you to sweat. That would be wrong. But if you don't know your gift, find out what it is. I had a woman in tears last service say, I don't know what my gift is, and I love the Lord, but I know in my heart I don't know. What do I do? And I say, you get a notebook, you get a pen, and you go to prayer and let God speak to you. And you'll get a couple of things, and maybe this is for you. You'll get a couple of, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Listen, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, he says, my brethren, I would not have you be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. The word ignorant means to be uninformed. Do you know? If you don't, Paul says, don't be ignorant anymore. You got to know. In your notes, jot them down for future homework. You need to research Romans chapter 12 concerning the gifts. Do you have that gift? Ephesians 4:11, you need to do that. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12, 13, and 14, or chapters 12, 13, and 14. You need to find out what your gift is and then use it. It's going to take some guts, though, because you got to try. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, your ministry will be spiritual. Next point, in verses 28 to 29, we see that true Christian ministry is meaningful or purposeful. Remember the guy I told you about, send in your money so I can get this $5.5 million home on the beach? Is that meaningful ministry? Is that purposeful? Well, it depends on which end of the check I guess you're on, huh? God's ministry is meaningful. It means it blesses the body. The body is growing. The body is strengthened by a meaningful ministry. What is the point here on this, or what is the example? Agabus, his ministry was a declaration that a famine was coming. It meant a lot to those giving and those receiving. It was prophetic. It came to pass. And look what he says in verse 28. It says that this famine was coming throughout the whole world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. And I appreciate that, because Luke wrote the book of Acts in 61 AD. Listen, that's when he compiled all of his notes. Luke had been taking notes for, you know how many years? 30 years he had been collecting notes concerning his eyewitness accounts of the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts spans 30 years of ministry. That's why it says right here, and you ought to circle this. If there's any doubters in the group, this is excellent. This is authority speaking here. Out of the word, he says, that famine happened, by the way, in the time of Claudius Caesar. That was 46 AD. There were a series of four famines that hit the land over the course of 13 years, but the worst one hit in 46 AD. By the way, this is not Christian history. This is secular history. The worst famine, 46 AD, so ravaged the area of Judea that the citizens of the area tried to kill Claudius Caesar because he wasn't doing enough about it. It was an actual historical event. Now, Luke, who's writing later, 61 AD, puts it in. By the way, this was fulfilled, is what he's saying. That means a lot. You ought to circle that and get all excited because your Bible is authentic. It's authoritative. And that's why Luke put that in there. Very, very important. It says in verse 29, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. The word then draws you immediately back to verse 28. Why is there the word then? It's an action word. They hear the prophecy or somehow see it. And what do you think they do? Well, you know, let's pray about it. What this guy's saying is that the church down in Jerusalem area, Judea, they're going to starve to death. So let's pray. They don't even pray about it. Let's take up a collection about it. They don't even do that. Let's form a committee. Oh, Lord knows nothing will happen if they do that. Agabus says, hey, listen, the Spirit has showed me that there's going to be a great famine in the area of Judea, the whole world, but specifically Judea is going to be severely ravaged by this. I just thought I'd let you guys know. The disciples, verse 29, it says, then when they heard it, they reacted. They got up and did something about it. And they did it according to their ability. Now listen here. You may have given in the offering this morning a nickel. You may have given $5,000. Do you realize that what you give in the way of the amount is absolutely meaningless to God? Do you realize that if you had 10 cents in your pocket and you gave a nickel to God and you gave 5,000 by check and you've got 180,000, which one gave the most? Jesus said, the one who gave a nickel. It's not the amount that you give, it's how much it cost you to give. You see, we're Americans. We do the American thing. Let's just throw money at it. It's easy to give money. You know what's more precious than money? At least in my life, it's time. I'll give you a check, but don't ask for my time. That's too expensive. You see? Well, if I give you my time, now that's costly. Listen, God does not accept gifts to him that are not costly. David said, shall I give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing? Isn't that amazing? God says in Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse 8, God says, you have robbed me. And the people say, in what way have we robbed you? And he said, in that you have not given me any tithes and offerings. You have robbed me. Eek. Then he goes on to say, read all of Malachi chapter 3. He says, listen, I want to make you a deal, God says. If you give unto me, God says, his work, see to it that I will bless you back, pressed down, shaken together, smashed in, overflowing, just totally, I'll open the windows of heaven and bless your face off. Kinda, that's not exactly what it's. See, the point is God will never become indebted to you. Well, I gave the church $10. Hey, please, take your rotten $10 and keep it. God doesn't want it. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, God says, no whining, grumpy givers. He says, you must give joyfully from your heart or keep it. And the word joyfully is hilarious. It is the word in the Greek, hilarious. That's the word. The offering comes by, ha, 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 praise the Lord, hallelujah. There you go, God, all right. No, keep it. Don't bring your money. You need a heart transplant. You don't need a transaction. You need a new life. Isn't it funny? Isn't it bizarre? Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Isn't that weird? Isn't it awesome? It happens to be money. Well, you know what? You go to Russia or somewhere else, and it's not money. It's food. You can hoard it, or you can share it. Somebody walks by with $1 zillion, big deal. If it can't buy food, it's worthless. You see, in our culture, it's money. In some other cultures, it's food. But wherever, whatever is, isn't it funny? Whatever is deemed precious to a culture, it's the thing that is in great demand, whatever that thing might be. But these guys have a very, very meaningful heart, this church does. In verse 29, then the disciples, each according to his ability. The word ability means what has been actually given. And there's a parable. You might want to jot this down. There's a message that Jesus laid out in Matthew chapter 25, specifically verses 22 to 29. But that whole chapter is great. But Jesus talks about talents. And I'm not talking talents like can you sing and dance. We're talking about what God has deposited in your life with the ability to do. And God says there, Jesus is speaking. He says, you know what? The owner of the kingdom, he gave to each of his men a certain amount or a certain ability. And then he went away on a far journey. And to one guy, he gave 10 talents, one guy five, one guy three, one guy one. And he came back after a long period of time to collect from his investment. Now, isn't that reasonable? What do you do when your CD or whatever is goofing up? You call the guy or whatever you... What's going on? Boy, we won't miss a day on that, will we? We're so careful. Got to keep an eye on it. Got to be a good steward, you know? You know, I tried that line, guys, when I got a brand new car. I had a beautiful black T-Bird. I would buff that thing, almost rub the paint off that car. And I used to try to convince myself that I had to park sideways out in the parking lots 5 miles from the store because I was a good steward. That was baloney. I didn't want anybody to scratch my idol. But he comes back and he says to the one, I gave you 10, what have you done with it? And he said, you know what, Lord? I took the 10 that you gave me and I invested it and I got 10 more, I got 20 now. And the Lord says, excellent, enter into the joy of the Lord. You did a good job. Goes to the one with five, what did you do with the five I gave you? I invested it and I got 5 more. Awesome, enter into the joy of the Lord. What did you do with your 3? I made 3 more, good job. He goes to the guy that's got one little gift, one little talent that was precious to the giver, the Lord. And he said, now, what have you done with the one? And he said, well, I know that you're very, very scary. You're austere. I tremble in your presence. And I know that you're very resourceful and you even collect things from people who you didn't even give to people. You're very, very authoritative and resourceful. And so I took what you gave me and I buried it in the ground. So here it is. You can have it back. And Jesus says, why didn't you give it at least to the bank? So that I could have collected interest and I could have had at least 6% or 3% out of the deal. You didn't do anything with it. And you read the rest of that story. And Jesus said what he had was taken away from him. Why do I tell you this, Christian? Because you will never be complete as a believer. You will never feel complete. You will never be able to sit back and say, you know what? This has been an awesome week. If you keep sitting on your egg, that egg wants to hatch. I know it's scary. I know if you're a believer that you're to have a gift. That's in the Word of God. That's certain. It's scary to exercise it, but you got to try. And if you're visiting from some other church, go back to that church and you try. But serve Him. The ministry is not only of the Spirit, but is meaningful and it will bless according to their ability. Real quick, and then we'll keep going on this ability. Jesus was at the Last Supper serving up the meal right there. He just told them, I'm going to go die. Now think about this. The lights are down. We got candles going. They're all laying around a table. Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to die. And the one who's going to betray me is at this table. And it's going to be really something, you know. And he takes the... And an argument breaks out at the table about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Ability. Peter goes, well, that's got to be me. I'm going to be the greatest. I mean, after all, look at me. And John looks at him and says, man, you stink like fish. There's no way you can be the greatest. I'm going to be the greatest. And Matthew says, wait a minute, I'm the guy with the brains around here. I'm the one with all the number-keeping abilities here. I'm going to be. They're arguing among themselves after Jesus just announces, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And the one who's going to betray me into the hands of the sinners, well, he's right here right now. Yeah? No kidding. John, you think you're going to be the greatest? Can you believe that? Ability. But these believers determined from their hearts what they would give according to the ability that God has blessed them with. And they sent, verse 29, relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And that's the final point. True Christian ministry is practical. It's practical. It means something to people. It's spiritual because God gets the glory. God will minister to this church through you. And you might be saying right now, you might be a little convicted after that last verse about maybe I'm sitting on my talent. Well, you know what? Maybe you are. Maybe you aren't. But before you judge yourself, and I don't want to dampen what the Lord might be saying to you. But in some ways, you're still being blessed, though I don't want you to rest in your sleepy state. I'll explain by this. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said concerning ministry, he said, I was naked, I was homeless, I was hungry, I was in prison, and you came and you visited me. And in that message, the person responds and they say, Lord, when were you naked? When were you hungry? When were you homeless? And Jesus says, oh, well, you see, in as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called True Christian Ministry, a look at the last few verses of chapter 11 of the book of Acts, a pivotal point where Messianic Judaism, now known as Christianity, is brought to the Gentiles. We bring these studies to you because it is our conviction that believers must be informed. That's why we urge you to visit realradioactive.org as we update the site continually as issues, events, and news items arise. It's also why we invite you to the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference, which is coming in January. You can also learn more about that at our website. Well, there's another means by which we want you to stay informed about what is quite probably the most important international topic of our day, Islam and the threat it poses to our society. And so we're offering a DVD called 3 Ex-Terrorists Speak Out. If you think that another 9/11 cannot happen again, then you are the ideal audience for this DVD. The title again, 3 Ex-Terrorists Speak Out. You see, on the anniversary of 9/11, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills hosted these three very special guests, Waleed Shubat, Kamal Salim, and Zachariah Anani. These former Muslims now campaign for freedom and expose the agenda of radical Islam, which permeates not only the Middle East, but Western societies in ways that would surprise you. So, for your gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you this DVD, 3 Ex-Terrorists Speak Out. Call, click, or write. You can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.